25. We have been considering together the godly kings of Judah. And tonight we're going to talk about Amaziah. Just a little bit. In fact, just one aspect of his life. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, starting at verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years. How old was he when he died? His mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. Now, we're not going to talk about that tonight. The role of mothers and their relationship and responsibility in raising children. Oh, it's a great role. Unhappily, the majority of women in this country don't want that role. They want to go up the corporate ladder. Now, pardon me the way I say this. And just to prove that they are women and can have children, they have one or two children, but they don't take care of them. That's for another time. Verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Isn't that nice? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but, and that's what we want to talk about. His heart was not whole, complete. He was not wholehearted. And that's our subject for tonight. On being wholehearted. He didn't serve the Lord with a perfect heart. He wasn't wholehearted. It is amazing. You see, sports fans. I'm amazed at their enthusiasm. What about us? Are we as enthusiastic about the gospel and about the truth? At Madison Square Garden tonight, I heard that Mr. Jordan is going to be playing basketball. The place is going to be full and they're going to be making a lot of noise and racket. Enthusiastic. Now there's one little catch. They call their enthusiast fans. But if we show the least enthusiasm about spiritual things, they call us fanatics. Isn't that strange? But that's what they call us. On being wholehearted. I have a quote here. It's not original with me. The half-hearted policy of some Christians in trusting God with a half-trust, believing the scriptures with a half-faith, has led to their being half and half all round and wholehearted in nothing. Oh, I hope that is not true of us. That we are half-hearted. We need to be wholehearted. And now let us look at a few scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 15, please. First Kings chapter 15. Verse 3. Speaking of Jeroboam. He walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not perfect before the Lord. Chapter 18, verse 21. Chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, and if Baal, then him. The people answered not a word. They were half and half. Couldn't make up their minds. Incidentally, this verse has strong appeal for me because it was this verse that the Lord used to lead my father to salvation. If God be God, serve him. And if Baal, then serve him. But don't be half and half. Hosea chapter 7, please. Hosea chapter 7. The latter part of verse 8. Chapter 7, the latter part of verse 8. Ephraim is a cake not turned. You ladies know what that is. Go to bake a cake and it's half raw. Not complete. Verse 10. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow for a little for the burden of the king of princes, because they were half and half. James chapter 1. Now, don't get too upset, because this is all they're going to be doing tonight is turning to scripture. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? You're either wholehearted, and if you're half-hearted, or three-quarter-hearted, or one-quarter-hearted, don't expect anything from the Lord. He expects us to be wholehearted. Now, it's an interesting thing. Take a gambler. He's enthusiastic about gambling, isn't he? Take a sports person. And I tell you, I remember one sportsman he used to announce on TV. That man must have been about 55 years old, and he was interested in two things. Horse races and car races. And he could quote way back 30 years ago what car came in first and second and third and fourth. He knew his subject. The same with racehorses. He even knew the names of the racehorses. How well do we know the book? It was in Brooklyn, New York, that a brother came to the platform and said, brothers and sisters, let us open our Bible to the book of Hezekiah, chapter 3. And a number of believers were there looking for the book of Hezekiah, which is not in the Bible. We should know our Bibles better than that, shouldn't we? I think of a brother in New York. He never used a Bible that had central references, or references on the outside, or notes or comments. All he wanted was the scripture. And let me tell you, he knew the scripture. And we've all heard of Dr. Rolls, and I mentioned this recently. He went to a hardware store. Now, you young ones don't know what that is. They don't have hardware stores anymore. You buy everything in the supermarket. But a hardware store is a place where you buy nails and hammers and, you know, things for woodwork. He went into the store and asked the young man for such and such a size nail. The man went and got it. Then he asked for such and such a size screw, and the man went and got it. And for everything that he asked for, this boy knew exactly where to go. You know what Dr. Rowe said? He said, that's the way I'm going to learn the Bible. And those of us that met him really knew that he knew the book. And that is the way we should know the book. That is the way that we should approach the book. actually know it and learn it. Have enthusiasm. Few questions. Don't try to answer. I'm just asking a question. You decide. How many apostles, disciples were there? That's easy. 12. Can you name it? You answer. How many books are in the Bible? 66. How many in the New Testament and how many in the Old Testament? We should be wholehearted and enthusiastic about spiritual things as those sportsmen are about the things that they do. Psalm 119, please. I almost said that this is my favorite psalm. But you ask me another time and I'll tell you something else is my favorite verse. And as a brother once said, my favorite verse depends upon my circumstances. Isn't that right? Sure. So, while there is much in Psalm 119 that I enjoy, there's some other verses too. But let's look at 119 in verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him, how? With a whole heart. Wholeheartedly. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Verse 34. Give me understanding, said I, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precept with my whole heart. God wants us to be wholehearted, enthusiastic, total commitment to an issue. True devotedness. Let's read about the Lord Jesus Christ. A few things about him. He's our great exemplar. Luke chapter 12. Wholehearted. Not half-hearted. Luke chapter 12. Verse 50. I have a baptism to be baptized with. How I am straitened, distressed, will it be accomplished? He wasn't running away from it. He was occupied and concerned that he had to go to Calvary for me. And he took it seriously. John chapter 12, please. John chapter 12, verse 50. I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. He was careful to speak the words of the Father. And we need to be careful to speak the words of God. Now there's one mistake that we make in our memorizing. We too often misquote scripture. This is particularly true of brethren getting on the platform. I was born in sin. No, you weren't. You were conceived in sin. That's the beginning, huh? When those two little cells came together, they talked about the genomes and all. They don't include sin. They don't know a thing about sin. The Lord said,
when those two little elements came together, sin was there, conceived in sin. And you know from your biology that one cell divides in two, you know, and whatever's in one is equally divided among two. So if sin is in the first, then sin must be in the two. And when two become four, sin is in all four, and by the time the baby is born, he's a bundle of sin. That's the scripture. That's what the scripture teaches, and that's what people need to be taught and to be made to understand. If we're going to quote the scripture in our enthusiasm, quote what is there. Oh, I like this one. Numbers chapter 25. There I go again, I like. The truth of the matter is I like them all. And I believe you feel the same. Numbers chapter 25. Real enthusiasm for the Lord. For things spiritual. Numbers 25 and verse 6. We'll wait for everybody to find this. Enthusiasm, that's what we need. Don't be discouraged. Behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand. He went after the man of Israel into the tent, thrust through both of them, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed. Did he have enthusiasm? That's what we need. Not fear, enthusiasm. To give the truth to those around. Well-known one, Daniel chapter 1. Wholehearted. Daniel chapter 1. Now, let us read from verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. The king spoke unto Asbenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princes. Now, that's important. If you want to underline your Bible, underline that. Bring certain of the choice young men of Israel. Verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and so forth. Now tell me this. A lot of young men were brought. How many stood up for the Lord? Daniel and his three friends. What about the others? What happened to them? They weren't wholehearted. They weren't committed. And again, I'm repeating the same thing. You remember chapter 3? We might look at that, chapter 3. Before we look at chapter 3, chapter 1. You've heard me say this before, but I like this so much. Remember that Daniel decided that he and his three friends would eat only those things which God allowed? Verse 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which had eaten a portion of the king's meat. That's commitment. I imagine that king's meat must have looked good. Probably smelled good too. But these four said, no, no. We're going to eat what God says. That's commitment. Then Melzer took away the portion of their meat and wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. These, no, please, read, young folks, you in school especially. These four children, God gave them knowledge. Now tell me, do you think that God can help you in school? Where does knowledge come from? You're having trouble in school? Ask the Lord to help you. I remember the first night I had algebra, I tell you the truth. I went home that night and all I saw were X, Y's, and Z's. And I was utterly confused. But the Lord straightened me up. I asked him, please explain, get me to understand these X, Y's, and Z's. And he did that for me. Let's read. Verse 17, for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Well, why not? He created everything, didn't he? So if you want to know something about something, ask the Lord. He'll tell you. And he'll tell you in school. Let's read on. 18, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them into him, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. My, my, my. Oral exam before the king. I imagine. I don't know how they felt, but I imagine one would be a little bit shaky, a little nervous. Oral exam before King Nebuchadnezzar. Of whom Daniel could say, whom you would kill, you killed, and whom you would keep alive, you kept alive. That total power over everybody, and they're going to take an oral examination. Have you ever taken an oral exam? Not the easiest thing in the world. Let's see how they made out. In 19, the king communed with them, and among them all there was not found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the rest. Those that ate the king's meat. These four were committed. Let me ask a question. How many of you, don't raise your hand, just say it to yourself. How many of you believe that God can do this today? That he can do it. He's able to do it. Oh, I see some heads throwing up. How many of you believe that God does this today? I don't see any head. I see one head. God does the same thing today. Not only in the olden days. I remember one of my daughters, she was about 6 years old, and she said to me, Daddy, what did you all do in the olden days? Well, God can do this today. I think of two examples, and I've mentioned this before. Sister is now out in California, has a high-level job in the health department. She trained at the hospital where I trained, a little older than she was. And she would come, oh, I can't take it, I'm going to quit. I said, no, you stay right here. And between my wife and I, we prayed for her. I can't make it, I'm going to quit. I said, stay right there, we're praying for you. Stay there. I don't smoke, I don't drink, and they're making fun of me. Stay there. And I remember graduation, Friday night, and my wife and I went to the graduation. Now, this was not in the olden days. She said, it's a young woman like you all out there in California today. 14 prizes were given out, and she won 13. Can God do it today? Can he do it in your life? I think of another one, but I won't tell you about that. This young lady is just here in Washington, D.C. And the one that won first and second prize with her is out in Detroit, Michigan. God does the same thing today if you will trust Him, commit yourself unto Him, believe in Him, and go with Him. Trust Him. Commit Him. Be wholehearted. But I think of something else. Even in natural life, we've got to be committed. Almost 8 o'clock, almost time for me to stop. At the turn of the century, from the 19th to the 20th century, there was a serious disease. A more serious, in a sense, than AIDS. Called syphilis. How to treat it? And caught, transferred, as is AIDS, sexually. And the only treatment that they had back in the 17th and 18th centuries was mercury. 3 times a week you had to take mercury and rub it into your skin. That's the only treatment they had. And so the saying was, 1 hour with Venus and 2 years with mercury. That was the common expression. And this man named Ehrlich decided that he was going to find a cure for this disease. Oh, the cause of it was known. You could take the cause and put it on the microscope and look at it. He was a chemist. He tried one drug, it didn't work. He tried 100 drugs, and they didn't work. He tried 200 drugs, and they didn't work. He tried 400 drugs, and they didn't work. I see that Brother Smart, he knows the answer. He tried 600 drugs, and none of them would work. 601, none of them would work. Would you get tired? Wouldn't you stop? 605, and none of them would work. 606, and it worked. You keep at it. You don't stop. Commission, commitment to the things of the Lord. You don't know. And that drug was known in the medical profession as 606. 606 times, and he got the drug that would defeat that drug. And we need to keep after it. And you know, you have women that are examples of this. Madame Curie. You've heard that name, eh? Famous for finding what? Mm-hmm. Hmm? Radium. And Madame Marie was there digging. And digging. And digging. What are you digging for? There's nothing there. The only person that supported her was her husband. Madame Marie kept digging and digging and digging. What do you think she found? Radium. Is radium useful? Do we use it today? She didn't stop after the first day. She kept digging and digging and digging. And so it is with us as we engage in the work of the Lord. We have to continue. We have to press on. We are not to stop. Don't get tired. Keep on in the work of the Lord. 5 minutes to 8. As they say, I'm sure you got the message. So there's no need for me to sing more. Is that right? So I'm going to ask that we sing in conclusion, sing 555. And in the will of the Lord, at the future time, we'll continue our study of the life of Amaziah. 555, I believe it is. Work. Don't stop. Apply yourself. Keep going.